Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Loaded with songs? Did you come ready to sing?
Yes.
Would you like to hear one more song?
Yes.
One more song, okay. Please.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in a land where I could not stand alone. I needed a friend on which I could depend. My sins couldn't keep him away. Blood has cleansed my every stain. Now I'll sing till my dying day. Mercy and grace, that's all I need. To see a face, that's all I need. I am born again. Change. By love so grand. Goodbye to that old man. Praise the great I am. My sins couldn't keep him away. Blood has cleansed my every stain. Now I'll sing till my dying day. Mercy and grace, that's all I need. To see his face, that's all I need. Jesus Christ is all I need. He cleansed my soul and he made me free. Couldn't keep him away. Blood has cleansed my every stain. Now I'll sing till my dying day. Mercy and grace, that's all I need. To see his face, that's all I need. Mercy and grace, that's all I need. To see his face, that's all I need. Jesus Christ is all I need. He cleansed my soul and he made me free. Jesus Christ is all I need. He cleansed my soul and he made me free.
Job. Thank you so much for that, and thank you, Aaron Woods, and we're glad that they're here with us tonight and excited that you're here. How many of you had a good time already tonight? You had a good time? Anybody catch a marshmallow in your mouth? Anybody got marshmallow sticky on your hands? Anybody figure out we got free Wi-Fi? You can't play it during the service. We're glad you're here. We're excited about what God's going to do this evening and thrilled. Appreciate it. How many of you had good pizza tonight? How many of you had okay pizza? I mean, if you got pizza in your pocket, you're just going to eat it later. It's always the boys. Boy, I got it. I got three pieces. So, we're glad you're here. We got a lot of fun things. We're giving out some prizes and all. Of course, right there, can you be Vanna for me? You don't know who Vanna White is? You hold that up. Just a little while, I just had the computer spit out everybody who had registered, and it gave you a random number. And so we're going to do something a little fun. We'll actually have a little, we got a random number picker. And so we're going to do it and at the end of the service after everything. And so we're going to give that away. Is that okay to everybody? How many of you like, I'd like an iPad mini? How many of you like, I got one, but I know how to exchange it? How many of you got, I know a guy, he'll give me money? How many of you like, I'm going to put it in my pocket with the pizza? Yeah, okay, no. See, that guy right there. There's always one. We're glad you're here tonight. Excited about what God is doing. And so thrilled for all of you that are here. Let me give you a couple instructions. Again, my name's Rodney Hallman, and I'm the pastor here at Hardin Valley Church. We're glad that you're here. I have several churches represented. I got some folks from the area, and we're glad a lot of our folks came out on Saturday night, and they helped serve you and do some things. And so We're very, very thankful for all of our workers who have done and all our folks who have come out. We're going to, we've got some neat things. We've got some old kind of antique hats. They're just hysterical. And they're for trucking companies that no longer exist. We're going to do, we'll do that toward the end of the service. But be paying attention because you'll have some clues that you'll need to remember. Then all of you that caught marshmallows, we've got we'll help you out at the end of our service as well. And so, anyway, we're going to do that. But we're glad you're here. Let's just find out our churches real fast here. We'll start. If you're not from Hardin Valley Church, you're from another church, just maybe one of you represent, and you can stand up real quick. We'll find you out, and you can cheer. You can cheer the guy with the pizzas from another church. And so, anyway, Daniel, just stand, wave at me, whatever you want to do here. We want to recognize you tonight. Yes, sir. All right, and who's with? Yeah, who's? Okay. Her friend Haley. So daughter and Haley, good to see you tonight. We're glad. How many of you glad? Let's just do think. We don't want to get too rowdy. Fingertip claps. How many of you glad the Valley View is here tonight? Some of you got to cut those nails. That was weird over here. Any other churches over here? Any other churches over here? Right here. I know Mr. Ryan is here. Yes, sir. Evergreen. Yeah, and boy, and a good-looking crowd from Evergreen, except the guy with the pizza in his pants, and we're glad for them. We're glad for them. We're excuse me. If we'll do a we'll do the Swami. I'm sorry, not Swami. Who is the guy? Who's the guy on who's the genie? Genie. That's what it's called. Who's the genie? Genie. We'll do the genie clap. All right for them. Hey, that's a little louder. Okay, a little louder. Any other churches here? Any other churches here? Represented here? Yes, sir, in the back. All right. We got a lot of those folks live around here. Wooddale, amen. We're glad you're here from Wooddale Church. Glad you're here from Wooddale Church. And we're going to do the side clap and side wave to you. We're glad you're here tonight. Excellent. Anybody else over here? Anybody else over here? So, and what about over here? We have any other churches over here? I think got a couple of it. Donnie Woods. A few of you are from Fairview. A few of the group that sang, amen, amen. And we're really glad for them. And they've come all this way to sing for us tonight. And we're really glad. We'll give them a real slow clap, right? Real dramatic. One, two. Some of you are in a hurry. Four. All right, good. All right, that's good. Excellent. You did really, really well. And, of course, from folks from Hardin Valley. Is anybody here from Hardin Valley tonight? They're the people who didn't get pizza, and they're happy. We're glad you're here. We had some folks, a few folks supposed to still be on their way, so we'll see. We're glad you're here tonight. We've got just a couple of things we want to do. One, we want you to have a great time. I believe being right with God and experiencing the joy of Christ is just unimaginable, and it's worth everything. And so we're glad you're here tonight. We want you to enjoy yourselves. We've got great music plan. We've got a fabulous message we've been praying over. Excuse me. We've got a fabulous opportunity for you to hear a message that many of us have been praying over and asking God to speak to your heart. And boy, even right up until 6 o'clock, until Forest Grove works too. We'll give you credit for both churches. Thank you, buddy. And we've just had some folks, and I believe that if you're here tonight, God has providentially got you here. And we're recording our service. We're praying for you. And so as we begin tonight, I want to encourage you to ask God to speak to your heart. Can I give you a little secret? Some of the best days, some of the best decisions that you can ever make are these days, these decisions. And to ask God either to save you from your sins and you become a new creature in Christ, become a Christ follower, or to say, God, you know, I need to be right with you. And all the junk and stuff that you carried in here, you can leave it here, and God can take care of it. And then some of you, you need to take a next step. You need to say, Lord, whatever, whenever, however, whoever. And that's what we're praying that you'll experience tonight. I've been doing this 24 years, and I can say without hesitation that serving God, that being right with God, was my wife, if it led me to my wife, my children, my current place of service,
And God has been so good to me. And that's what he wants for you. God has a perfect, wonderful plan for your life. So let's pray right now. We're going to pray, and we're going to start with a word of prayer. And then we're going to have you a chance for you to sing. And we've got a wonderful pianist who's going to help us tonight. And we're delighted. Would you bow your heads for me just for a second? And we're so glad you're here. He believes that God is constantly raising up the next generation. And he does that because simply tonight he believes that we need to be preached to. We need to see what God can do in our hearts through the Word of God. And because he loves young people. I believe it'll be very obvious to you tonight. So I hope that you will. I'll bet you'll open your heart. I hope you won't give in to temptation to play on your phone. I hope that you won't give in temptation to figure out what's going on. I hope that all of you that are courting tonight, you'll just take a little break for a few minutes and listen to the man of God preach the Word of God. And we're glad that he's going to come and preach to us tonight. He's going to come and speak to us right after Aaron and his group come and sing again for us. So come on, guys. Make Aaron feel welcome as he comes down.
Okay, we'll do one more song for you. Those of you who were here early, I think you've heard us do this once already as we were warming up. But this song is called Lord, I Need You. And it's a good song for a time of reflection and to think about how much we need God. We need him in every part of our life and most of all for our salvation. So if you haven't done that, I hope this song convicts you. It's your life. It's very important. So,
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I'd fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. So teach my soul to rise with you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. God, how I need you. You're
Well, that was a great job. Let's give them a hand again. They did a wonderful job singing. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you for coming tonight and singing. And I want to say thank you to Brother Rodney and for all that was accomplished in getting this Rally in the Valley prepared. He and his church people, Miss Andrea. And let's give them a round of applause for their hosting this tonight. They did a great job. Everything making this possible. And what a joy it is for us to be with you all the way from North Carolina. And we love being with young people no matter where it is. And whatever place God allows us to share God's Word with you and challenge you to give your life the one life that you have. You have one life to live. You have one life to give. And that's going to be our theme for the next few moments. I want you to think about that. You have one life to live. You have one life to give. That's all. That's it. It's not like you can go in and trade in and get number two. You have one. And this is the opportunity of a lifetime for you to take the one life that you have and to give that life for something that's worthwhile, something worth living for, something that has purpose, something that has meaning, something that will last not only now but forever and forever. And every one of you have the same opportunity because you have one life to live and you have one life to give. And I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes if you have your Bible with you tonight. And if not, we'll put the verses on the screen. But I do want you to follow along in the Word of God as we share with you the message God's placed upon our hearts. And this is an exciting time, okay? Teach a little poetry. Look to the person to your right or left. I want you to say this poem, okay? Roses are red. Violets are blue. Your mother was pretty. What happened to you? Oh, yeah. Okay, that broke up some couples right there, okay? All right. It's great to have fun, and it's great as Christians that we can truly enjoy having the kind of fun that's a clean fun, and you don't have to feel guilty when you go to bed at night because it's great, it's super to have the fun that Christians have all the time and not be ashamed of it, not have to confess it. It's what God wants us to be, and we're going to see that in our text tonight. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Let's stand together, and you can look on the screen to see the Word of God, or you can open your Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse number 9. If you found that, say amen. Amen. All right? And it's on the screen for everybody else. Here it is. The first word is what? Rejoice. Rejoice, O young man. So that means man or woman, male or female. It's a generic term. So if you're young, God says He wants you to rejoice. And He says, rejoice in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. So here God is emphasizing to every young person, hey, I created you, I made you, I want you to enjoy life, I want you to begin young, I want you to enjoy your youth, I want you to rejoice in your youth. But then we see that God has a statement, but. And somebody says when God butts in, we need to pay attention. All right, and that's exactly what He does here. He says, but for all these things, that for all the things you do, know this, that God will bring thee into judgment. So while you're young, while you're rejoicing, while you're having fun, while you're having a great time in your youth, remember this, God says. And then verse 10, He says, therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. And then He continues in the next chapter talking to young people, and He says, remember. Notice in chapter 12, verse 1, He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Chapter 12, verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. And then he concludes, here's the wisest man that ever lived next to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he concludes as he speaks to young people in verse 13. And he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What is life all about? Why am I here? Where am I going? What's going to happen to me? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter of life. Fear God and keep His commandments, For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And in particular, I want you to notice chapter 12, verse 1. I want you to say it out loud with me together. All right? Chapter 12, verse 1. Ready? Begin. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. One life to live, one life to give. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, it's just as true today as the day that you spoke it through Solomon. It's just as true today as it was penned down on parchment. It's just as true today that you have preserved your word in the English language so that we can hear what you're saying to our spirit. So I'm asking you right now, Lord, speak to me and through me. And speak to every young person's heart, not just to their head, but speak to their heart, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that they might, in the quietness of this moment, allow the God who created them to speak to them about the purpose of their life and why they are here and where they are going. And Lord, I pray that they will make eternal decisions based upon those truths. Every young lady, every young man, every youth sponsor, I pray that you will speak to us all, and may we respond as if it would be the last opportunity we would have to respond to the call and the voice of God through the Holy Spirit who whispers to us in these moments. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And again, God is calling every one of you. God is speaking, there's no question. He said, I will make known my words unto you. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon you and you and you and you and you. And there's no exception on the entire planet. Every young person who comes into this world does not come by accident. They come by divine appointment. And God sends His call, His voice, His word to every young life. He doesn't leave you to just wander and try to figure out what you're going to do with your life. He said, I will make known my words unto you. I will pour out my spirit unto you. And God does that through a lot of various ways. He does it through your parents sometimes who try to teach you. He does it through a preacher who sometimes tries to share with you what God is saying. Sometimes He speaks through a youth director or someone who works with the teenagers. But you know what? Most of the time we don't hear God speak through our parents. We don't hear God speak through the preacher. We don't hear God speak through the youth director. So God speaks to us in various ways to get our attention. God uses His Word that we just read, that He spoke out of His mouth. And it's been written down for us, that which we just read a few moments ago, 3,000 years ago. God wrote those words and we have them in front of us, and God is making known His word. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. He said, my word will live and abide forever. Kingdoms will come and go. Generations will come and die. But the word of God lives and abides forever and forever. Young people, it's incredible. God speaks through the scriptures. He speaks through the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit's everywhere. He's in China, He's in India, He's in America. He's speaking right now all over the world, and He's communicating with the heart and mind of young people of all cultures, of all nationalities, of all languages. Isn't it great? The Holy Spirit can speak all the languages. And He speaks to our hearts, and He speaks to our mind, and He uses the Scriptures. And then God uses His servants. Who would have ever thought that we would have met tonight? I mean, here we are, crossing paths. And here, as God's servant since I was 16 years of age and yielded my life to the Lord, I've crossed paths with thousands and thousands of young people through the years. And that's no accident. That's how God speaks. He speaks through the Scriptures. He speaks through the Holy Spirit. He speaks through His servants who He calls into His service. And so here we are. And so, though you hear an audible voice here, if you will listen, you will hear an inaudible voice inside. And that's the call of God. That's when God is communicating His Spirit with your spirit. And you'll know it. I'm telling you, when God starts speaking to you about something, you'll know it's not your parents. It's not the preacher. It's not the youth director. It's God. And He's communicating something inside of you. And it's real. It's powerful. It's life-changing. And we come to what Solomon is writing here. And he says, what's life all about anyway? Why do we live on this planet? Why are we born? Why do we go to school? Why do we try to put away something for the future? Why do we get married? Why? All these questions. And he said, I want to answer that for you. He said, I want to give you the reasons. You have one life to live. You have one life to give. And everyone in this room is living. Now, you may not feel like it. You may not even look like it. But you are living and you are breathing. You have not even thought about the fact that your heart's beating, but it is. And it's keeping you alive. You have one life to live. You have one life to give, and that's it. That's it. I mean, you blow this, you've blown it. I mean, it's it. You're not going to get second try. You're not going to get second life. You're not going to be born again as a fly or as a frog. You know, wouldn't that be terrible? Kill that fly. Well, there went Grandma. You know? It's what some people believe. But I'm telling you, you have a real life that's been given to you. And I want to share with you four reasons why you ought to give that one life to God and serve His Son, Jesus Christ. And I think they're all reasons we all can understand. And they're all logical reasons why we ought to give. It's reasonable that we give our life to God. If you think through it, I've only got one life, what should I do with it? Well, you ought to give it to God, and you ought to live it for Jesus Christ, His Son. And I want to show you why that is true. Now, God has He has created a world full of, well, there's all kind of rules in our world. We don't like rules. You know, by nature, we find out what the rule is, and we figure out how we can break it, you know? And we're just by nature rule breakers, law breakers, okay? But God has put some things in place. For instance, God put into place the law of gravity. I think Isaac Newton was the first man who wrote it down and said, this is the law of gravity, that if you leave anything unsuspended within the atmosphere of the earth, it returns to the surface of the earth. There's my phone. Oops, sorry. But that is the law of gravity. It didn't go up, it went down. Why? The law of gravity says it's going to be pulled toward the center of the earth. And you say, well, I don't believe the law of gravity. Suppose you're here and you know, you say, I don't like school. I don't like school, and I certainly don't like science, and I hate my science teacher. Therefore, I don't believe the law of gravity is true. I don't believe it's true. I don't like school, and I don't like science, and I don't even know who Isaac Newton was, and who cares? And so I don't believe the law of gravity. And so you tell everybody here tonight, yeah, I don't believe the law of gravity. I don't care what the scientists say. And so everybody looks at you like you're a little weird, like you're a little wacko. And afterward, you get everybody outside before you go home and say, hey, I don't believe the law of gravity is true. I'm going to prove to you I don't believe it. Somebody says, what are you going to do? And you say, I'm going to fly. So you're going to do what? So I'm going to fly. And so you get the tallest ladder you can get, and you crawl up on the top of the building. You get at the highest pinnacle of this building, as far up as you can go, and you say one more time, I hate school. I don't like science. I hate my science teacher. I don't believe the law of gravity. Well, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to fly. Watch. And so you spread your wings, and you take one giant step for mankind. And everybody comes to visit you in the hospital. Your bones all broken up, your head's all bandaged up. And through all of that, you say, oh, I guess the law of gravity is true, isn't it? Why? Because the law of gravity is true whether you believe it or not. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's true anyway. And there are things that God has put into place, young people, in your life that are true. You say, I don't believe in God. Doesn't make any difference. You say, I don't believe in the Bible. Doesn't make any difference. You say, I don't even like my preacher. Doesn't make any difference. Because God has put some things that are true no matter what you believe. Now let's look at them. Solomon tells us what they are. He says, Verse 9 of chapter 11, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. In thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Chapter 12, verse 1, he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You know what? Law number one, you're young only one time. That's it. You go through the period of your youth only one time. And your youth fades away. And it fades away because you have been given this privilege. When God looks at your life, He sees a period of your life as the days of your youth, or the days when you are young, when the days when your body is strong, the days when your mind is sharp. And He said, this is the period that I'm giving to every young person, the days of their youth. Now, it's just like a rose that you go to the garden and you see a beautiful rose, you know, and it's just beginning to unfold its petal. And you cut it off at the stem, put it in a vase. All right, you come back and look at that rose the next day and it begins to unfold its petals. Everybody stops by and, oh, boy, it smells so good. You come by a couple days later and some of the petals started to droop. You come by next week and half the petals are on the table. You come back in 10 days and there's nothing but an old dead stem sticking up out of the pretty vase. Why? Because that flower is only young for just a short time. And then it fades away. And your life is just like that flower. You are right now in the period of your youth when your life is at its best. You have the most to offer right now in your life than any other time in your life. Do you know that when you were in your mother's womb, you were tied with a cord, a stem, if you please. And when you were born, the doctor or somebody cut the umbilical cord, and here you were. There was a baby. And everybody loves babies. Oh, ooh. And we do all these crazy things, crazy face. Oh, Gucci Goo. Now, the truth of the matter is, the moment that cord was cut, that baby started growing older. From the very moment you came into this world, your life begins to fade. You're young only one time. And Satan knows that. He knows that there's a period of your life when you are a teenager. You're a period of your life when you're an adolescent. There's a period of your life when you're a young adult. And then it's gone. And so Satan uses all the commercial efforts that he can. Through every technological method, he tries to get your attention. And the devil says, hey, you're young only one time. You better live it up now. You better live for pleasures now. If you're going to ever have fun, you better have it now. And Satan tries to lure you into all kinds of things that are tainted and dark and evil. And that's why Solomon said, put away evil from your flesh. While you're a young person, don't get involved in the things that are going to contaminate the rest of your life. While you're young, get rid of the darkness. Remove the evil from your flesh, from your mind. Don't allow Satan to play this game on your life. The nightlife, Satan says, is for Michelob. When you've said, bud, you've said it all. Why doesn't Satan show the commercial with the young people's bodies splattered all over the side of the road and the cars are mangled and he said, hey, come up to the high life, drink Michelob. Why? Because the devil doesn't want you to know that you can destroy your life while you're a young person. You can throw it all away while you're still in your teens. Never even to live to young adulthood. And you know what the devil says? Well, he knows you're young. And he says, hey, God's holding out on you. You know, God's not really telling you the whole story. God, if you become a Christian and give your life to Jesus, you're not going to have any fun. You see, God's holding out on you. He doesn't want you to experience life. He doesn't want you to have fun while you're young. And that's the lie of Satan, that he speaks to young people all the time. And they believe it. And they go for the sin that's placed in front of them without realizing the consequences. But what's God's response? He knows you're young only one time. So He says in chapter 12, verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, in the days when you're young, in the days when your mind is sharp and you've got a body that you can offer to Him in service. He says, remember now thy Creator. Did you know that you have a Creator? Do you know that you were specially designed by God? Do you know what it's called? It's called DNA. And God took one single cell and He made everything about you. And He put in that one single cell, in that microchip, He put everything about your life. He put your DNA. He wrote your signature. He put your fingerprint there. There's nobody else like you. God made you unique. He designed you. He fashioned you. And you know, inside of that one cell has all the communications to develop your hair color, your eye color, how big your ears are going to be. I mean, whether you have a big toe or a little toe, where it grows. All of that is God's design. God made you. You have a Creator. You have a Creator. Oh, I don't believe that. I've been educated. You know, I've gone to school, and I found out, you know, that we didn't come from God. That God didn't make us. That we just happened. And way back there in time, billions of years ago, there's this huge explosion. And all of this stuff's happened, and then, you know, I just evolved. Here I am. Oh, so here's your motto then. Once I was a tadpole grubbing in the mire, till I became ambitious and started to aspire, I rubbed my tail so hard against a sudden log, it disappeared completely and I became a frog. I struggled from my puddle and jumped upon the land, and the feeling within me was glorious and grand. It made me kind of frisky, so I hopped around a tree till I landed in the branches as happy as could be. And then I spent some eons evoluting without fail till I became a monkey and grew another tail. But still I had ambitions, and eons quickly sped. I climbed down from the tree and walked the earth instead. My tail got tired with trailing on the hard earth every day, and twice within my process that appendage passed away. And twice within my process that appendage passed away. Once again I evoluted, and believe it if you can, I woke one summer morning and found myself a man. Now you tadpoles in the mire, just think what you may be. If you'll only in your puddle start to climb the family tree. I'm genus homo, finished for all the world to see. For when I told my story, they gave me a PhD. Now, I'm telling you, young people, the truth of the matter is, that's what is being taught in America, in all of our school systems. But the Bible says, remember, God created you. God designed you. He has a purpose for your life. And He says, while you're still young, He says, remember God with your life as a young person. And the reasons He gives are three simple reasons. He says in verse 12, verse 1, remember now thy creators, the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Why should you give your life to God when you're 12? Why should you give your life to God when you're 15? Because Solomon says the evil days are coming. The evil days are coming. The days are coming when life is going to get more complicated. You know, life's rather simple right now. You get up and you take a bath, or some of you take a bath. And you brush your teeth, and you go to school, and you come home and watch TV or get on your phone or your computer. Life's real simple, but the Bible says it's not going to stay that way. Life's going to get real complicated real fast. And He said, while you're still young, you need to give your life to God. Well, things are rather simple before the evil days come. I think the evil days mean because life is going to become more and more wicked. The longer you live in the world, the more wicked our world is going to become. And so if you're going to give your life to God, the best time to do it is now. Now, before things get more wicked, before things get more evil, before the evil days come, give your life to God now. And he says, before the evil days come, and I believe this is the main reason Solomon says you need to do it now while you're 12, while you're 13, maybe while you're 10. And that is because as you get older, your heart gets harder. As you get older, there's something that happens when you don't get saved and give your life to Jesus Christ the first time you hear it, and you put it off and you put it off, there's something that starts happening inside of you. It's called the hardening of the heart. The heart starts getting more resistant to the truth. And you can go to church and it doesn't bother you. You can hear the singer sing and it doesn't affect you. You can go for so long that you think that God never speaks to you anymore. I have letter after letter from young people. I've kept them for over all these years, and I get one even of late that says, you know, I go to church all the time, but God never speaks to me anymore. This was from a precious teenage girl, and her parents in church. She'd been in church for years. She'd been in the youth group. She played all the games, went to the camps. God doesn't speak to me. And then she wrote in big letters, she said, God has given up on me. I'm scared. And so I sent her back a message and I said this. I said, God has not given up on you. Your heart has just become so hard you don't hear Him anymore. Oh, He's still speaking. He still loves you. But your heart has become so hard that you don't hear Him speaking anymore. You don't know that He loves you anymore. And there's someone in this room right now, tonight, who your heart has become so hard. You go to church all the time, but God doesn't speak to you anymore because your heart has become gradually hard. The evil days are already setting in, and you're not even 18 yet. Think about it. The truth of the matter is, if you don't get saved and surrender to God by your 16th birthday, the chances of you coming to Christ are minimal. They are small. I'm telling you, it's a fraction of the people who ever get saved after their 16th birthday, because while you're young, your heart is tender. While you're young, God can speak to your heart. He can get through to your conscience. And so he says, hey, remember God while you're young, because the evil days are coming when the years draw nigh. In other words, he said, you ought to give your life to God now, because the years are going to go by and you're going to be out of middle school, and then you're going to be out of high school, and you're going to be looking back. And the years have already gone by that quickly. It's going to be unbelievable. You're going to be in college one day and you're going to look back and you can't believe that 10 years have already gone by. And Solomon said, you need to give your life to Christ while you're young, because the years are going to fly by. They're going to go by so quick. And before you know it, your teenage years are gone, and the opportunities in high school to serve Jesus Christ are lost forever. You can never go back to the 10th grade. Now, some of you have tried it 3 times, but you can't go back and relive those years. You're gone. Because you're young only one time. That's it. If you didn't live for God when you were in middle school, you can never live for God in middle school. If you're not living for God in high school, you're losing the opportunity of a lifetime. The years go by, he says, and he said, you ought to remember God while you're young, because the evil days are coming. The years draw nigh when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. In other words, if you don't live for God while you're young, listen to me, if you don't give your life to Jesus Christ now, like he said, N-O-W, now, you're going to come to the place where you hate your life. You have no pleasure in it. You're going to look and say, life stinks. My life stinks. And you're going to wish 1,000 times you could go back to a rally like this and say, Lord, I give you my life, because the years have gone by, and instead of serving Jesus Christ, you've served yourself and you've served sin, and now your life's in a mess. And you're not even 25 yet. And your life's in a mess, and you have no pleasure in your life anymore. That's why the suicide rate among teenagers in this country is incredible. The young people that take their lives because they say, life's not worth living anymore. I don't care anymore. I have no pleasure. That's what he said. Remember God while you're young, because the day will come that you'll have no more pleasure in your life. And sin won't be fun anymore. You see, it's fun right now. It may be Friday night right now on a date, but I'm going to tell you what, if you keep going down that road, one day you're going to say, my life stinks. I wish I'd have never gone down that road on that date. I wish I'd have never given in to that impulse. I wish I'd have never watched that on the internet. I wish. Solomon says, don't live your life like that. Remember God now because you're young only once. Say it with me. Young only once. Say it again. Young only once. Number two, he says, you need to give your life to God now while you're still young. Because he says, your sin will find you out. Your sin will find you out. Look in chapter 12, verse 9. He says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But, know this, whatever you do while you're young, whatever you do while you're a teenager, God will bring it into judgment. You say, well, my parents don't know. Doesn't matter. My preacher doesn't know. Doesn't matter. My best friend doesn't even know. Doesn't matter. God knows. God knows. And He will bring you into judgment for the things that you do while you're young. Wow. Be sure your sin will find you out, is the way Moses put it. Paul put it this way, be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. You sow to the flesh, you're gonna reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life. Everlasting. Oh, hear me, young people. Your sin will find you out. So you ought to give your life to Jesus Christ while you're young. You don't have to worry about all that. You don't have to worry about what's coming down the pike 10 years from now. You're not going to have to worry about your sin coming back to haunt you. You're not going to have to worry about those seeds that you sowed being reaped later in your life. Sin will find you out sometimes. In the law, in criminal law. As a young man that I knew his family and I tried to win him to the Lord, and he was in our Christian school all the way through the 12th grade. But he was like this cool guy that played basketball, and he's tall, lanky, you know, girls liked him, and so why get saved? Why give your life to God? Right up to his senior year, I pled with him to commit his life to the Lord. I can remember a service like this when God was dealing with him so strong. And I quietly went, nobody's looking, and I went to him and I said, why don't you give your life to Jesus today? And he said, man, I can't do it. I said, is God dealing with you? He said, yeah. I said, why don't you give your life? He said, I just can't do it now. Well, I didn't know what was going on in his life. He's in a Christian school. He's a senior. He's playing on the basketball team. But here, the fact, before that school year was out, they found marijuana in his locker and he got expelled from the Christian school his senior year. It broke his mom and daddy's heart. They had put him in there since kindergarten. And he got kicked out his senior year. Well, I lost contact with him. And I was visiting the jail. There was over 500 inmates in the jail. I was going to preach in cell D on the third floor. I'm walking down, you know, with a guard with me, and we're walking down. I'm going down here to preach to these criminals. And then I hear my name. Hey, Brother Nate! I said, who knows me in jail? Kind of a creepy feeling. And I turned and looked through the jail bars as we're going past these cells. And I see this bearded guy, his hair growing out here, his hair growing out long. And then for a moment I thought, I don't know this guy. And I turned and looked in the cell, and he called his name and he said, you know me? And I called his name and I said, what are you doing here, man? The same kid that sat in our Christian school, the same kid that was a senior, that I pled with him, give your life to Christ. Why not today? I can't do it, man. I can't do it. You see, he got with the wrong crowd, and they got busted one night at a party. And you know what? They fled and left him to take, they take the rap. And that's what your friends are like in the world. That's the devil's crowd. They'll run away and leave you to rot in a jail cell, and they won't even come to see you. He said, can you come in here and talk to me? So I spoke to the guards and they unlocked the door, and I went down and sat down across from him. Hardly could recognize the same guy that had been in my Christian school. And here's the deal. He said, man, Nate, I messed up my life. I messed up my life. I wish I could go back to those chapel services. He said, I got a girl pregnant. He said, I messed up her family. I messed up her life. I got busted for drugs. I'm addicted to drugs. You see, sin will find you out and it'll catch up with you quickly. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. And the Bible says that sin will find you out in your conscience. Hey, did you know that every one of you've got a preacher living inside of you? His name is Reverend Conscience. And God put him inside of every single one of you. And he's the one inside of you that says, don't do that. Man, that's wrong. Don't think that. That's nasty, man. Don't think that. And you hush that voice and you turn your music up louder. But God put a conscience inside of every young person. Every young person. And sin will find you out in your conscience. I know of a young lady who was going to give her life to Christ. She was going to go to Bible college, serve the Lord. She went off to 1 year Bible college. Sounded great. Great. Off to a good start. And then that summer, she got involved with a boy that wasn't saved. And when it came time to go back to Bible college in the fall, she didn't go back. And it really disturbed her pastor and her youth pastor and said, why aren't you going back to school? Oh, just, you know, it's a money problem. No, it wasn't a money problem. It was a sexual problem. It was a sin problem. And you know what? It wasn't long after that she found out she was expecting a baby. And she talked to one of her friends. And they said, we know where abortion clinic is. Your parents don't have to know. They don't even have to sign. And they took her to abortion clinic. And she had her baby aborted. And she thought, oh, that's cool now. My problem's over. Oh, no. She said every time a commercial came on television, even about diapers, she started bawling. And that voice inside of her said, you did wrong. You killed your baby. That's your baby crying. She got where she couldn't stand it. She couldn't sleep. Her mama called me to the house and said, Nate, you need to go try to talk to her. She hasn't come out of her room for 3 days. Why? Because your sin will find you out. It'll find you out in your conscience. God's put one inside of every one of you. And you need to give your life to God now while you're young. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Because your sin will find you out. Your sin will find you out. Say it with me. Your sin will find you out. You're young only once. You ought to give your life to God because these are the best years of your life. Give your life to God now. Don't wait until your life is trashed and then give your trashed life to God. Oh, He'll take it. But why wait when you can give Him the best? You can give Him the best years of your life. You can give Him your mind. You can give Him your body. You can serve the Lord now while you're young. So you're young only once. Your sin will find you out. And then Solomon says, let me give you a third reason why you have one life to live and you have one life to give. And here's why you ought to give it to Christ. He says in chapter 12 and verse 7, he says, then shall the dust, chapter 12 verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto life, or unto God who gave it. So here it is. You girls that do makeup, you know, you try to look better. You know you're putting makeup on dust. Did you know all that is dust? You're doctoring up clay. And here Solomon says that one day the dust is going back to the dirt. And the real you that lives behind those eyes, the real you that lives in that body, is going to God. Whoa. He said, here's the reason you ought to give your life to God while you're young, because your life is short. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave you. who breathed into you the breath of life. And you know, you became a living soul. There was a time that you did not exist, but there will never be a time that you cease to exist. There was a time when you were not, but there will never be a time when you will not be. You will be somewhere forever and forever, and your life is so short. You know, my dad, being a preacher, he would come to the youth group, and we had 50, 60, 70 teenagers all the time in our youth group, and he would come over sometime on Sunday night, and he would preach to us about dying. And I would say to my daddy, why are you preaching to us about dying? We're the teenagers. We're the youth group. And he would come, and he preached about being ready to die. And I said, why don't you preach to them old people? You know, they got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. Go preach to them. They're the ones that are dying, not us. You know, and God had to communicate to me something. Young people die too. Young people die too. I was on the baseball team. I played third base. Made the All-Stars, enjoyed playing the game. Made friends with a guy who was one of our best pitchers on the team. He didn't go to church. You know, he's just on the team, and he didn't grow up in a Christian family. But I made a connection with him, and I said, Mike, why don't you come to youth group with us? Why don't you start coming to church with us? So Mike, he did, and he joined our youth group, and we had camping trips, and we went on this one camping trip to the Eno River. And one of our youth sponsors was a Golden Glove boxer. I mean, the real deal. And he brought boxing gloves when we went on the camping trip. And he roped off a boxing ring. Isn't that great, Ryan? A boxing ring. And he paired up the guys when we were on the camping trip. It was all guy. This was an all-guy camping trip. And he paired us up to have boxing matches with the real deal, you know. And then after we had the boxing matches and we're all bloodied up, he said, let's go for a swim. And so we go down the Eno River and we're swimming in the Eno River. He said, let's fish for a while. So we fished for a while. And then when our time was up, he said, okay, we've got to load the van. We've got to go back. And so everybody piled their gear and got back in the van, and we're driving down the dirt road away from the Eno River, and we're heading up to the interstate or to Highway 70 and to go back. And he said, hey, is everybody on here? And we start counting heads, and there's one missing. He said, who's missing? And nobody knew Mike except me. I'd befriended him. He really wasn't in yet in the youth group. And I said, Mike's not on here. He said, man, let's go back. What happened to him? I don't know. I didn't see him when we were packing up. So we go back down to the campsite, no sign of Mike. We go back down to where we were fishing, no sign of Mike. Where we were swimming, no sign of Mike. Man, I mean, panic starts setting in. You can imagine, youth sponsor, he said, man, I'm missing a kid, 15 years old. His parents don't even come to church. We go up to the guard station at the front and say, hey, we're missing a kid. Do you see a kid up here walking? Do you see a kid on the road? And they said, no, so be on the lookout for it. We get back to the church and think, well, maybe he hitchhiked. Maybe he just decided he'd walk home or something. He doesn't show up. And so then they organized a search party. 2.5 days later, they pulled a dredge up the Eno River, and they found Mike's body. And they pulled it off the bottom of the body. Somehow, while we were swimming, he just got out too far. And he got pulled in the current. And he drowned. Nobody even heard him cry for help. My daddy preached his funeral. I carried his coffin, my friend, to the cemetery. And I said to God, God, this is not fair. Mike's only 15 years old. He had his whole life ahead of him. God, this is not fair. Incredible. Not long after that, I was in Sunday school class. We had a teen Sunday school class. My youth pastor taught the class on Sunday morning. I had a friend that came late every Sunday. I mean, he just showed up late. I mean, you could almost time it that he's going to be 10 minutes late, so I saved him a seat up toward the front. He'd come walking in, and Roy'd sit down with me on the row. He's a cool man. He had a light blue Chevelle. And all the girls were crazy about him. That's why I was his friend. And we were buds. We were buds. And the two of us were the chairman and co-chairman of the junior-senior banquet for all that year. We had a big tuxedo deal, you know, the girls with long dresses, guys with tuxes, and we rented on Lake Mickey, we rented this big lodge for the junior-senior for the youth group that year. And we were the guys that raised all the money. Me and Roy, we raised all the money. We collected Coke bottles, Pepsi bottles, Sprite bottles, every kind of bottle you can imagine. In those days, you could cash them in and you could get some money for them. And we had them stacked from floor to ceiling in our garages. I mean, all these bottles. And we would even skip school to collect bottles. Of course, our parents didn't know about it. We talked about three things. We talked about sports. I was a Carolina fan. He's a Duke fan. So it was always in each other's face. Okay, we talked about sports. We talked about cars, because we like cars, and he had a nice one. And we talked about girls. That's it. That's the sum total of our conversation at church, away from church. It's what we talked about. Because we were living. We weren't planning on dying. He played the lead trombone at the Durham High School Band. And so they had their big competition at the Greensboro Coliseum. You've seen it when they've been played. They played ACC. Used to play ACC there all the time. And they went and played the band at the competition there. After the band finished playing, he puts his trombone away. He's walking across the four lane with the rest of the kids. And everybody else gets out of the way. But there's a blare of a horn. And Roy gets hit and sent his body skidding across the highway. When we got the call, we all went to the hospital. And we're waiting outside. When the doctor walks out of that room, his mom and daddy, remember my daddy's church, he's one of my best friends in the world, and I saw the doctor. I've seen it many times since, but I saw it that day first time when that doctor shook his head and his face fell, and I heard that mama scream, a blood-curdling scream, "No, not my baby! No, not my baby!" And we had Roy's funeral, and my daddy preached his funeral, and I carried his coffin to the cemetery, and I pointed out when I go down Highway 70, I said, "There's where Roy's buried right there." You know what? There's a day in my life that changed my life forever. You know, I did go to the cemetery, and I was mad. I was mad at God. "God, that's not fair. Roy was only 16 years of age. He just got his license. He had his whole life ahead of him. God, why is that?" And the Holy Spirit saying, "Young people die too. Young people die too." I said, "Well, why not me? Why him?" I'm kneeling in the dirt after everybody left that cemetery. That was a significant day in my life. And I waited, and they threw the dirt back on his grave. And I got on my knees. And I didn't cry in those days. You could make me cry. I played football, and you could beat me to the living daylights, but you could make me cry. I cried that day. And the tears poured down my face. And I said, "God, I didn't know he was going to die. We talked about cars. We talked about girls. We talked about sports. Well, we never talked about you, Lord. We never talked about serving you. We never talked about living for you." I said, "God, I make you a promise. I don't know why you took Roy and left me here. But if you let me live, I promise you I'll serve you the rest of my life." Well, I was already saved. But I said that day, "Lord, my life, I've only got one life. And I'm going to give it to you because life is short. And we never know when our life's going to end." I went back to our youth group that Sunday night, and I could even in my mind go right now, because I didn't give testimonies. I was the preacher's kid. You know, I just sat kind of quietly in the back and let other people stand up and testify. But that day I stood up and the tears ran down my face. I could hardly talk. And I said, "I don't know why Roy's dead and I'm alive, but I promised God I'd give him the rest of my life and I'd serve him the rest of my life." Oh, listen, I've kept that promise to God since the day I walked out of that cemetery. And I'm saying to young people, you don't know how long your life is. Life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time and it vanisheth away. And you don't know the date of your death. You don't know how long you... So give your life to God. Give it to Christ. Give everything you've got to Him. Whatever days you've got left. Whatever years you've got left. Give it all to Him. That's a great reason why you ought to give your life to Jesus Christ. And you ought to serve Him. Finally, there's one more reason Solomon gives us why we got one life to live. We got one life to give. And there's a reason you ought to give it to Jesus Christ. And you ought to serve Him all your days, all your life. And that's because he says, as he concludes this writing, he says, "I want to give you one more reason." And see, it's the end. It's the last two verses. He said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's life about anyway? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Why am I living? Why was I born? Why am I here? Where am I going? He said, here, let me sum it up for you. Fear God. reverence God, worship God, serve God, fear God, and keep His commandments. And the first commandment is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's commandment number one. And then all the rest of them just fit right in together. He says, fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of your life. That's why you live. This is the whole purpose. You're here. It's so that you will serve Him. Because God shall bring everything into judgment. God will bring everything into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Judgment is sure. Now, why should you live for God while you're young? Because there's coming a day when God's going to play your life back. You're going to see this service again. You'll see it again. God is keeping the record of your life. And just as sure as you're breathing right now, one day you're going to stand before God and everything that is secret and everything that is public is going to be on display. Everything. I mean, it's going to be out there. And you ought to give your life to God and live for Jesus Christ so when that day comes, you have no reason to be ashamed. You can hold your head high knowing that your sins are under the blood. You are forgiven. You've given your life to Christ. And you can walk into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and not fear Him then. Because if you don't fear Him now, you will fear Him then. If you don't tremble at the thought that God knows what you see on the internet, He knows what you watch, He knows what's on your phone, He knows what you think, He knows your attitudes, He knows how you speak to your parents, He's got it all on record. And one day, judgment is sure. Just as sure as you're here, after death, the judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. We stand before God. The books are opened. And whosoever was not found in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I mean, there's no questions asked at that trial. I mean, if you're not saved and your name's not written in Jesus' book, the Lamb's book of life, you're out of there. I mean, you don't even speak in the courtroom. The angels will cast you into everlasting fire. That's a sad end to the life that's here to have to go to that place forever. But if you are saved, there's a judgment for you too. And there's a judgment for me too. And that means from the time that Jesus saved me as a 6-year-old boy, God's going to say, here's the opportunities I gave you. Here's the privileges I gave you. Here's the doors I opened for you. What did you do? I gave my life for you. What did you do for me? I mean, it's what Jesus is going to say. I gave my life on the cross. I sacrificed myself. I gave my best. I gave my blood. I did it for you. What have you done for me? Oh, don't you want to be able to say in that day, Jesus, you gave your life for me, and it was only reasonable that I gave my service back to you. And I served you from the time I was 14. I served you from the time I was 17. I served you from a 10-year-old boy. I gave my life to you. You know, it can be that way. And you can not be afraid to die. You can be ready to meet Jesus. No matter what age you are. No matter what your background is. No matter who your family is. You can be ready to meet Jesus Christ. Or you can meet God one day and have to hang your head in shame. And say, Lord, you gave me so many opportunities when I was a young person. But I didn't take them. I didn't serve you. I love youth camps, and I've always loved taking young people to youth camps. I mean, just getting out in the woods and getting away from everything, you know, and shutting off the phones and just getting away with young people is one of the greatest things you can ever do. Because that's where God speaks, man. He just speaks. And we were taking a group of kids, over 100 kids, teenagers, we were taking to a camp. I mean, a real camp. Not the camps with air conditioning and all that stuff. Camp. I mean, this was camp that if the sewer ran over, you had to step over the creek. You know what I mean? Had to watch where you stepped. It was kind of nasty, but it's camp. And, I mean, the cold water everywhere in the showers. But, you know, the kids love to go. And they'd stand in line to go. I mean, We'd end up with as many as 160 teenagers for Sunday through Saturday. And on this one occasion, this one kid, he didn't want to go. And he gave his parents a hard time. And he had a sister that was following his lead. And so she wasn't going to go because he wasn't going to go. But the parents really wanted them to go to camp. But they didn't want to get on that hot bus, that cheese box, and ride it 100 miles to camp in the heat and then be in heat all week long too. So I had a 67 Mustang, a nice car. And Becky was going to follow us. I was going to be on the bus with the teenagers. And Becky was going to follow with my 67 Mustang. And so we said to this kid, hey, you can ride the Mustang with Becky. She'll drive you up to camp. Hey, cool, man. So he decided he'd go. At the last minute, he decided he'd go. So he jumped in my Mustang, and we're already way up the road with two buses of teenagers, and Becky's following behind, and his sister came too. Well, we got up to that camp, and just like every year at camp, God came down. Every year, God just spoke to hundreds of kids. And they'd be up at 1 o'clock in the morning getting right with God, and they'd be surrendering their life to Jesus Christ. I mean, every year it happened. It was amazing what God would do. And so we get back from camp. You know, our teens all sat together. I like you all sitting here in the front because our teens all, they did that to church, and they all sat in one section together, and all the teenagers sat together. And I was sitting on the front row, and I looked down, and I noticed Kenny, the kid that went to camp, didn't have his Bible on Sunday morning. So when the preacher announced the text, I just said, I'll slide over there next to him. I opened my Bible. We shared our Bible. I just remember we're sitting there reading the Scripture while the preacher's preaching that Sunday morning. It's just something you remember. Later that week, my parents came, just surprised us, and they showed up at Becky and I's house, and we didn't know they were coming, so we just prepared a quick lunch, and we're sitting down at the lunch table, my mom and dad, and the telephone rings, and when we get the phone call, they say, you need to go to the hospital. Well, why? I'm eating with my mom and dad. I hadn't seen them in a while. Can I go later? No, you need to go now. I said, why? They said, because Kenny's been, he's been hit, and he's been in an accident, and he's really bad off. And I said, what? I said, I just sat with him on the front row Sunday morning. They said, yeah, he was riding his bike, and he was coming down the driveway, and somebody had parked a van on the street, and he didn't see. He comes out, and a truck hits him while he's on his bicycle, sends him across the highway. So, of course, I leave my lunch, and I go straight up to the hospital. And by the time I get there, his parents are there, and there's a lot of the teenagers from church that are there. And we just wait. You know, you wait through all those times. And then the doctor comes out and says, we're trying to do everything we can. He said his head is swollen the size of a basketball. We're trying to drain fluid. We're trying to save his life, but we just don't know. And I see his mom and dad as they just bend over and begin to weep. Then they came out and they said this. They said, you know, he might survive, but, you know, he's going to be a vegetable. If he does, he'll never talk. He'll have to feed him through a tube. You know, he's not going to have any life. And the mom just, you know, you just think, any mom. And that's her only boy. And she just sobs. And then they did an emergency surgery. You know, when they roll the bed out and rush it across the hall, you know something's going on. And they tried to save his life. And the doctor came out and said, we did everything that we could. I'm sorry. Before that had happened, I go into the room. Mom and dad are standing on the other side of the hospital bed. Kenny's wrapped in bandages. You don't know that he can hear a thing. I looked to his mom. I said, is he responding? She says, no. So I take his hand. Now, this teenage boy weighs 205 pounds, 14 years old. I take his hand, bigger than mine. It's just limp, like a dish rag. I get right down in his ear because they tell me the last thing that leaves is your hearing. So I get right down in his ear, and I said, Kenny, this is Brother Nate. I need to know something. Are you trusting Jesus? Are you ready to meet God? I said, Kenny, if you know you're trusting Jesus, will you squeeze my hand? I'm telling you, his hand, little by little, tightened around my hand, and he got a death grip on my hand. And his mama said, he's squeezing your hand, Brother Nate. He's trusting in the Lord. He's trusting in the Lord. Well, as he passed away, of course, we were going through Kenny's things, and we found his Bible that he took to camp. And in that Bible, his mama turned and opened the page. And it said, I, Kenny Edge, gave my life to Jesus Christ at Pocahontas State Park Youth Camp on this date, on this time in the month of August. And I'm going to tell you what, we had a shouting time at the house with Mama and Daddy because Kenny was with Jesus. Kenny was with the Lord. Kenny was saved. He was ready to meet Christ. And I'm going to ask you, are you ready? Are you ready to meet? Have you surrendered your life to the Lord? You only have one life to live. You have one life to give. Will you give it to Christ? I'm talking about those of you who are saved. Will you give all of it to Jesus? Will you surrender the rest of your life to serve the Lord? Whatever He wants you to do, wherever He wants you to do it. It's the only reasonable thing to do. Let's bow our heads, please, for prayer. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. We prepare for this invitation. Nobody's looking around. I want you to be honest with God. I want you to be honest with your own heart. I want to be honest with your own life. You know better than anybody else what's going on in your life right now. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want you to answer these questions not to me, but to God. I'm not speaking to just the teenagers. I'm speaking to the adults as well. I want to ask you the question. If it was time for you to leave this world, if somehow you didn't know this was your day and you had to go be with the Lord, are you right with God? Is your life right with God? Are you right with your parents? Are you right with the Lord? How are things between you and Jesus tonight? You say, Brother Nate, you know, there was a time in my life that I got saved. There was a time in my life I asked Jesus to come into my heart. But I know that I'm not living right. I know that my life's not what it ought to be. As a Christian young person, would you please pray for me? Because I know there, I need to get some things right with God. Would you lift your hand right now with mine all over the room? Just keep lifting them, keep lifting them. That's right, that's right, that's right, that's right. That's right, keep lifting. I've been saved. I know I got saved. I trusted Christ as my Savior, but my life is not right with the Lord. There's some things that are not right between me and the Lord. Would you just lift your hand right now? Say, pray for me, Brother Nate. Please pray for me. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God's speaking to your heart, young man. God's speaking to your heart, young lady. You say, you know, I trusted Christ. I believe that the Lord came into my life and He saved me. But I've gone back in some areas of my life. And I know that I need to recommit my life to Jesus Christ. Is there somebody like that? You say, pray for me. Just lift your hand. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I wonder how many of you here would say, Preacher Nate, as I've listened to you tonight, if I had to die tonight, I don't know for sure, 100% for sure, that I'm right with God. And I'm not really sure that I'm ready to meet the Lord. I'm not really sure that I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure. Would you please pray for me because I want to be saved. I do. I want to be saved before my life ends. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up for prayer? Just slip it up for prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There. Thank you. Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I want to be ready. I want to be saved. Yes, thank you, dear lady. Thank you, teenager. Pray for me. God sees your heart. As you lift your hand, He sees your heart. I want to ask you one more question. You say, Brother Nate, I know I'm saved, and I'm trying to live for the Lord. I really am. But I know God's got a plan for my life. I know that God wants me to do something with my life. And I need to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Now that I'm saved, I need to surrender my life to the Lord. Would you please pray for me? Would you slip your hand up, Christian? Is there a Christian young person like that? Yes, 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 yes. God sees you. Yes, here in this section, over here in the back. Yes, I've been saved, but I know that God has something for me to do with my life. And I need to surrender my life. You need to start with your friends. You need to start with your dating life. You need to start with your communications, your entertainment. You need to surrender it to the Lord tonight. You say, Brother Nate, pray for me. I'm saved, but there's some things I need to surrender to Jesus. Would you slip your hand up right now? Pray for me. Thank you. 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 Now here's the invitation. Very carefully listen. I'm going to pray for you just as I promised. And even while I'm praying, and when we begin to sing, I want you to leave your seat. A few minutes when you lifted your hand for prayer, I want you to leave your seat. And I want you to come to this altar and I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I need to surrender something to you tonight. I need to surrender my life to you. I want the pianist to play softly, if you would, please. Our hymn of invitation on the piano she's going to play. We're going to pray. Let's all stand quietly. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you lifted your hand for prayer, I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, I pray for every young lady. They were all over this room, Lord. I pray for every young man. Lord, I pray for them right now that you're dealing with their heart, Lord. That they would surrender their heart to Jesus Christ. Lord, that they would surrender their life now to Jesus, now that they've been saved. And Lord, I pray for those that are not yet saved. This teenager here, this teenager here, this teenager here, this dear lady. I pray, Lord, that this would be the night that they would receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. That you would forgive their sins, Lord. Then I pray for young people, Lord, who need to surrender their life to serve you. Whatever that might mean, Lord, that they would say, Jesus, the rest of my life belongs to you. I ask you in Jesus' name. Now, if you lifted your